Chapter 7, The Location of the Church. Many people who disagree with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church say in regards to the location of the church, well, that's easy to answer. The location of the church is in the seven-year tribulation. For supposed proof they cite the word saint and attribute it to the church. Now the word saint does appear during the events mentioned in the book of Revelation concerning the seven-year tribulation, however, a quick look at the facts reveals that it cannot be referring to the church. First of all, the word saint in the Bible simply means, Holy One. Equals. And when you look at the scripture, Old and New Testaments, you'll see that there are many different kinds of people being referred to as a saint or Holy One. There are Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, future tribulation saints, and even saints in the millennial kingdom. So just because you see the word saint doesn't mean it's referring to you and I today, the church age saint. There are all kinds of Holy Ones throughout the Bible. Rather, what determines the identity of the word saint and to whom it's referring is its context. Just as it is said that the three most important things in real estate is location, 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 so it is with correct Bible interpretation, context, context, context. For example, take the one English word, cool. I can use it in many different ways. Even though it's spelled the exact same way, with the exact same letters, the context determines its meaning. For instance, what if I were to state the three following sentences? Wow. The outfit you have on is cool. Hey, is everything okay? Your attitude towards me is kind of cool. Brrrr. The weather outside is cool. Now, notice how all three times, the word cool was spelled the exact same way with the exact same letters, but each one had a totally different meaning. What determined the correct meaning was the context in which it occurred. So it is with the word saint. Is it referring to an Old Testament saint, a New Testament saint, a seven-year tribulation saint, or a millennial saint? Context determines the correct meaning. Therefore, that's how we are to rightly interpret saint and its usage during the horrible events of the seven-year tribulation. For instance, take these passages.
Revelation 13:7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language and nation. Revelation 13:10. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Revelation 17:6. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus.
Many people who disagree with the pre-tribulation rapture position will oftentimes cite these verses along with others and say, see, the church is in the seven-year tribulation because it says saint. Really? Just who are these saints mentioned here? Remember, context, context, context. Certainly these are not Old Testament saints because that time frame has already passed. Secondly, it can't be referring to the millennial kingdom saints because that's still in the future. Likewise, I would say neither can it be referring to the New Testament church age saints because, as we've already seen, there is strong evidence that the New Testament church left at the rapture of the church prior to these events in the seven-year tribulation, and we still have a long ways to go on that evidence. Therefore, that only leaves one other option. These passages must be referring to the tribulation saints who get saved after the rapture during the seven-year tribulation. First of all, we know that people can and will get saved during the seven-year tribulation due to the powerful evangelism campaign going on in the world through the 144,000 male Jewish evangelists, the two witnesses and the angel that flies through the sky declaring the eternal gospel.
Revelation 7:4 and 9. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. After this I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language and people.
Therefore, the tribulation saints, those who get saved during the seven-year tribulation, are the saints who the above passages are referring to. The lesson is they should have gotten saved before the rapture occurred prior to the 7-year tribulation. Yes, you finally got saved, praise God for that, but now you're in a heap of trouble. This is because the book of Revelation clearly states that most of the people who get saved during that horrible time frame will be horribly murdered and martyred and even have their heads chopped off.
Revelation 6:9-10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Revelation 24. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands.
Therefore, the point is this. Get saved now before it's too late. You don't want to be there. But I think it's clear when you do the homework, just because you see the word saint in the book of Revelation, doesn't mean at all that it refers to you and I today, the church age saint. Rather, it's referring to those who made a huge horrible mistake and procrastinated too long in getting saved. Context determines its meaning. Furthermore, not only do we not see the church, let alone the word church mentioned during the horrible events that occurred during the 7-year tribulation, which includes the usage of the word saint not being applicable to the New Testament church in the book of Revelation, but there is powerful evidence that we do see the location of the church in the book of Revelation. And surprise, surprise, they're nowhere on earth during the 7-year tribulation. Rather, they just so happen to be in heaven, which just so happens to be the location where we Christians go after the rapture. The first evidence of the church going up into heaven after the rapture prior to the 7-year tribulation is the phrase, "Come up here."
Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this."
So here we see right after chapters 1-3 where in the book of Revelation the word church is repeatedly mentioned again and again 19 times, the very next phrase in chapter 4 begins with a command to come up here. The here or locale is clearly defined by the words, "a door standing open in heaven." From here on out, the church is not mentioned again until the end of the 7-year tribulation with the return of Jesus Christ at the second coming. The focus now switches to the Jewish people and God's wrath being poured out on the Gentile nations. Now, even though this command is being given to the Apostle John, who by the way is a part of the church, many would believe that this is a prophetic reference to the rapture of the church before all the horrible events of the 7-year tribulation begin in chapter 6. Why? Because, first of all, the phrase, "come up here" just happens to be the exact same phrase used in Revelation 11 that speaks of the two witnesses who are killed in the middle of the 7-year tribulation who are then bodily resurrected and ascend into heaven as well.
Revelation 11:12. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on. Revelation 11:12. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on.
The second clue that Revelation 4:1 is referring to the rapture of the church is found in the next phrase, "a door standing open in heaven." It just so happens that we don't see another door opening in heaven until the end of the 7-year tribulation, where this time the armies of heaven, including the church, are led out at the second coming of Jesus.
Revelation 19:11 and 14. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean.
Notice the phrase there, "dressed in fine linen, white and clean." This is a clear reference to the church as Revelation 19 reveals.
Revelation 19:7 and 8. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.
The bride of Christ or the church is given fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. This is clearly a reference to the church at the end of the 7-year tribulation coming back with Jesus at his second coming. Heaven opens up to receive the church. heaven opens up again to let the church back out. So according to the scripture, it would appear that the church goes into heaven at Revelation 4, prior to the 7-year tribulation, and then comes out again in Revelation 19 at the end of the 7-year tribulation. This clearly fits the timeline of a pre-tribulation rapture scenario. Again, this is why the church is mentioned all throughout chapters 1-3 but then disappears until the second coming of Jesus at the end of the 7-year tribulation. The obvious question to me is, do you really think this order of events in the book of Revelation is by chance? I think not, especially when you examine the alternative. You see, if the church really was to be around during this horrible time frame in the 7-year tribulation, then one would expect a different command to be given. Not, come up here but, stay down there, or good luck in the midst of all that, or boy, wait until you see what's coming next, and what you're going to have to go through, or see you in 7 years, or even, have fun trying to survive now. But rather, what we see is the command, just like at the rapture, come up here and the church disappears and is absent until the second coming. I don't think that's by chance. It fits perfectly with the pre-tribulation rapture scenario. Furthermore, it also needs to be noted that the church will be busy during the 7-year tribulation while in heaven, and none of it has anything to do with experiencing God's wrath as this researcher states.
While the 7-year tribulation is occurring, the Bible records the church will be busy with 3 events. None of the 3 have to do with suffering on a world being destroyed. The first event the raptured church will participate in is a judgment by God, the judgment of the just. This judgment on works is not to determine eternal destiny, but to determine degrees of reward, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelation 19:6-9. The second event is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This feast celebrates the spiritual marriage of Christ's bride, the Church, to her Savior. Revelation 19:7-9. The third event follows the marriage supper of the Lamb and is the Church's preparation to follow the King of Kings into the Battle of Armageddon at the conclusion of the tribulation. This event is the second coming of Jesus Christ, Zechariah 14:1-21, Matthew 24:29-31, Mark 13:24-27, Luke 21:25-27, Revelation 19:11-21. Revelation 19:14 identifies the Church in their fine linen, white and clean, which was given to them during the first event, the judgment of the just. The church and angelic forces follow the King of Kings into his second coming to the earth, but only Jesus himself will engage in battle and with mere words defeats the nations in siege against Jerusalem.
Speaking of what the church is wearing, this brings us to the second evidence of the church going up into heaven at the rapture prior to the 7-year tribulation, and that is the phrase, the 24 elders. It just so happens we see a group of people clearly being mentioned in heaven while the horrible events are unfolding on earth during the 7-year tribulation. That group is the 24 elders.
Revelation 4:4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Revelation 4:10-11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
They are also mentioned in Revelation chapters 5, 7, 11, and 14, and in all occurrences they are clearly located in heaven. So the natural, logical question is, who are these 24 elders in heaven? Well, once again, a quick look at the context reveals the answer. It's the church. Now, some would say that the 24 elders refer to angels, or Israel, and even all the redeemed Israel and the church. But I think the context clearly reveals it can only be the church. We see that in various ways. The first evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the timing. Now, notice how the initial introduction of these 24 elders just happens to be right after the command to come up here is given. We already saw this command refers to the church being raptured just prior to the 7-year tribulation. Therefore, based on the order of the introduction of the 24 elders following the rapture, this tells us the church gets raptured and then gets a new identity, the 24 elders. The second evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the location. Again, as was stated above, notice just where these 24 elders happen to be. In heaven. As one researcher states.
Are they on earth getting ready for the tribulation? No. They are in heaven worshipping him who sits on the throne and the Lamb. From their first mention in Revelation 4:4, the 24 elders are in heaven, judged, rewarded and enthroned.
If the elders represent the church, this is another indication that the church must be raptured to heaven before the first judgment of the tribulation is unleashed in Revelation 6:1. The only place you find the church in Revelation 4:18 is in heaven as the 24 elders who are seated on thrones, dressed in white, crowned with crowns, worshipping the Lamb.
Speaking of which, the third evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the crowns. First of all, crowns are never promised to angels, nor are angels ever seen wearing them. Yet the Bible says the church will receive rewards/crowns at the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ.
2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
This timing of receiving the crowns would also mean that the 24 elders, the church, couldn't receive their crowns unless the rapture has already taken place. Another indication of the pre-tribulation rapture. Furthermore, the crowns also shows us that the 24 elders cannot be referring to Israel because Old Testament believers will not be resurrected and rewarded until after the tribulation is over.
Daniel 12:1 and 2. At that time Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt.
The fourth evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the title. Now, the word elder comes from the Greek word presbyteros, and this just happens to be used in the New Testament to refer to church leadership.
Titus 1:5. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town, as I directed you. 1 Peter 5:1 and 2. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be.
The word elder or presbyteros is also where the church word Presbyterian comes from. It's clearly a term used of church issues. By the way, this is also why nowhere in the Bible are angels ever addressed as, or considered elders. This is a term applied only to human beings. The fifth evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the number. I think the other question that has to be asked about the 24 elders is, why is there exactly 24? Why not 32 or 15 or 3 or even 178? Why are these elders numbered as 24? Well, a quick look in the Old Testament reveals the answer as this researcher shares.
The Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament numbered in the thousands. 1 Chronicles 24. Since all of the priests could not worship in the temple at the same time, the priesthood was divided into 24 groups, and a representative of each group served in the temple on a rotating basis every 2 weeks. While the nation of Israel was a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19:6, only Aaron's sons were allowed to enter God's presence. However, all believers in the church are priests unto God.
1 Peter 2:5, 9. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Therefore, these 24 elders are not indicative of Israel, but rather they represent the entire New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. The sixth evidence the 24 elders is referring to the church is the position. Notice how these 24 elders are positioned. Not on a couch. Not a daybed. Not even a lazy boy. Of all things they are seated upon, it's thrones. Now here's what's important about this position or placement. Sitting on thrones or being enthroned with Christ is a clear promise to the church.
Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
The elders and the church get to sit in the same position. I don't think that's by chance. I think they're one and the same. The seventh evidence, the 24 elders, is referring to the church as the distinction. How anyone can say the 24 elders are angels is beyond me when the Bible draws a clear distinction between the two, even in the exact same verse.
Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders.
How can angels be the elders when they're clearly two distinct entities in the exact same passage? The eighth evidence, the 24 elders, is referring to the church as the redemption. If there's one thing clear in the scripture, it's that Jesus died for people, not angels. He gave his life and died on the cross to purchase or redeem human beings unto himself, not angelic beings. This just happens to be how the 24 elders describe themselves. They are people who have been purchased or redeemed, and they bring this truth out with the new song they get to sing.
Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation."
Purchasing or redeeming people is clearly a word used to refer to the salvation of the church, not angels. Paul also mentions that elsewhere.
Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Why do the elders sing a song of redemption? Because the elders are synonymous with the church who has also been redeemed. The ninth evidence, the 24 elders, is referring to the church as the clothing. A quick look at the clothing that these 24 elders are wearing clearly reveals we're also dealing with the church. They are dressed in white. This just happens to be the same clothing of the redeemed in the church age.
Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Revelation 4:4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Revelation 19:7 and 8. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.
So as you can see, the church is seen in white garments before the rapture happens, Revelation 3, and then is seen again with them after the rapture happens in heaven, 24 elders in Revelation 4, and then still has them on after leaving heaven and returning to earth with Jesus at his second coming, Revelation 19. Also, this clothing issue not only helps to identify the 24 elders as the church, but it also helps to draw a clear distinction between those who get saved now, church-age saints, and depart this world at the rapture of the church just prior to the seven-year tribulation, and those who procrastinate and get saved after the rapture during the seven-year tribulation, tribulation saints, as this researcher points out. That brings up another interesting distinction in Revelation. Have you ever noticed the difference in the clothing of those that stand before the throne of God in Revelation? Whenever we see those that are martyred in the tribulation, they are clothed in white robes that had to be washed before they could stand before the throne. However, there is a second group of people, New Testament church, present from the very beginning of chapter 4 that wear the white raiment of the priesthood of heaven. This is the very same raiment worn by the Lord Jesus Christ. The martyrs, tribulation saints, are clothed in white robes which are stolen Greek. Revelation 6:11 and Revelation 7:9-14. The church, the 24 elders, are clothed in the white linen raiment of the priesthood which are imation in Greek. Revelation 3:5, 3:18, and 4:4. Isn't it interesting that you see two totally different garments for two totally different groups of people? Those who get saved now before the 7-year tribulation, and those who procrastinate and get saved later. Once again, I think the lesson is clear. Get saved now. So as you can see, it is not only clear that the 24 elders is speaking of the church, but since they are nowhere on earth during the horrible 7-year tribulation, but rather enjoying and worshiping Jesus in heaven, there is no way you can place the church in the horrible events of the 7-year tribulation. They are absent, enjoying God's blessings, due to the rapture of the church that took place prior to the 7-year tribulation.